Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the podcast, let's talk about OTAs day two. We talked yesterday about some of the reports from day one of practices and getting a feel for some of the changes we're going to see from this football team. It was interesting to hear Matakevich is starting now at inside linebacker, at least to start. Interesting to hear Ben Roethlisberger and Mason Rudolph have squashed that beef. Today, we've got some more to talk about. The Steelers potentially toying with the idea of a 4-3 defense. We've also heard from Sean Davis about whether or not he's playing free or strong safety or what is going on there with him and Morgan Burnett and who is going to play what position. I think that actually is a pretty interesting topic, so we will get to that today. Before we do that, let's start today, as we do every day, with some Steelers news and notes. Mason Rudolph, the quarterback Steelers took in the third round, signing his rookie contract. So, 4-year deal for Mason Rudolph. That'll take him through the 2022 season. Again, as I said, there's not a lot of wiggle room in these rookie contracts. So, I thought maybe because he's a quarterback, it takes a little longer working on incentives and that kind of thing. But nope. Again, there is just not a lot of wiggle room here. So, Mason Rudolph signing yesterday. And that's going to mean that now Terrell Edmunds is the last Steeler rookie to sign. And again, even though he's a first-round pick, I expect him to sign in the next week or two. These things usually don't take a long time. The NFL owners meeting again and three new rules put into place. Of course, we knew about the kickoff rule. We had heard about that one. That one is done and in the books. And again, if you aren't familiar, you have to line up evenly besides the kicker. So 5 and 5 on each side. I think there has to be like, you know, guys within each hash or whatever has to be even. You can't, no more run-ups. You have to line up within a yard of the kickoff, so you can't run before. What else? You can't block within the first 15 yards. There's no more wedge blocks for kick returners. Kick returners also have to be within a certain, they have to be like closer to the kickoff itself, so you can't have a bunch of guys deep. I think you only have 3 guys deep. It's going to change kickoffs pretty drastically. And as I said the other day, this is the last year for kickoffs. They will try this one. They will determine that this one is a terrible rule as well. And then they will go to no kickoffs and you just start at the 25. The hit to the head rule, also a done deal. This one, there was some talk as to whether or not the rule would change a little bit because there had been so much concern about it. I don't know that it changed that much. I tried to read and watch their little videos they put out. I would just recommend, if you're interested in this hit to the head rule, if you want to know, or leading with the head rule, I should say, it's a leading with the head rule. If you're interested in this rule, I would just say go to NFL.com. They actually put out a pretty good video explaining the rule, showing plays that are examples of this would be a penalty, this is a clean play, this is an ejection. You know, spoilers, the Danny Trevathan hit is the ejection one, right? That was the Chicago Bears-Green Bay Packers game. The other thing they did today was they made it so that ejections are all going to the replay booth. So if you're getting ejected for this leading with the helmet rule, that's going to go straight to Al Riveron. He's going to determine whether or not the hit is ejectable. The other thing that I thought was interesting in some of the discussion that I read today about the hit to the head rule, the leading with the head rule, is the idea that even defensive linemen can be called on this as they're coming out of their stance. If they're leading with the head, that will also be called for this 15-yard penalty. So again, I'm very concerned about this rule. I want to see how it's officiated. You know, there was a lot of concern, it was like 5 years ago, about the running back leading with the head rule, which was one that was put in that just seemed very strange. That rule, I've never seen it called. I think it's been called like twice ever. So we'll see. Maybe this is just like that, where this is called pretty sparingly. But remember, there was that report out that said that last year there would have been 5 penalties per game of this called. 5 15-yard penalties per game would change. I mean, really, any 15-yard penalty has a humongous effect on the game. So we'll see how this is legislated. But again, I would say go to NFL.com and look up the video for this. They do a pretty good job of explaining what this rule is going to be. The final rule that they did today was the National Anthem rule, which is one that they had been discussing for a while, and that originally it was going to be that there was going to be a 15-yard penalty assessed to any team who had players kneeling during the anthem or doing any sort of protest during the anthem. They came off of that, thank goodness, because last thing we need is this thing actually affecting football games. But Look, I don't have a strong opinion about the actual protests and all of that either way, right? I will say that for the NFL, somehow, some way, they've found a way to come down on this in a way that is going to make both sides angry. The rule is now that if you're going to protest, you can do so by staying in the locker room during the national anthem, just not coming out to the field for the national anthem. That is there. And if you do come out and you protest, there'll be fines and whatnot and all of that. Okay, so that's the rule, right? And then there's been, I guess, going off of that, right, there's been some teams who have said, well, we'll pay for our players if they're gonna protest and that kind of thing. Look, I get that the NFL wants this to be to go away, right? This is not a good look for them in any way. They don't want this. This is not good publicity for them. They just want this to go away altogether and get back to football. I get that, right? Art Rooney talking about that today, that he thinks this is a good compromise and yada, yada. This is not going to make that go away. In fact, this is going to make it worse because this is just going to enrage both sides. On the side of the people who feel like these protests are valid and they should be allowed, they're going to feel like, wow, you're silencing these guys and telling them they have to stay in the locker room when they want to protest. And then on the other side, if you're saying, no, you have to stand for the anthem because it's patriotic and you're disrespecting our military and the flag and all of that, well, if you're not out there for the national anthem, if you're standing in the locker room, right, you know, not good enough. And so there's going to, again, this is not going to change. I don't feel like this is going to change anything. I think we went through a whole season of who's kneeling and the national anthem becoming this big thing where, you know, the camera's on the sideline panning around for anyone who's possibly kneeling or in raised arms or whatever, right, or locked arms, whatever it was. We're not going to have a season where that's not going to happen, right? I mean, that's not what this rule is going to lead to. This is going to lead to who's in the locker room and, can you believe this guy knelt and are the team going to pay his fine and yada, yada. I mean, it's just going to get worse and worse. And so, look, the NFL wants this to go away. Somehow, some way, they found a way for it. Not only is it not going to go away, but you've actually enraged both sides even further. So great look, NFL. Great job on that one. Somehow, some way, they just find a way with these things to find the worst possible solution to the problem. All right, and then let's get to OTAs day two. So today I thought the most interesting thing I heard today from OTAs was the Steelers toying with the idea of going to this 4-3 look. Now, this is not, I don't think this would be a completely new look for the Steelers. And I was actually kind of confused when I was trying to read Bud Dupree's description of this 4-3 that he's talking about. It seems like the one he's describing is one in which Bud Dupree is going to play a defensive end position and T.J. Watt would play the other defensive end position, and inside you would have Cam Hayward and Stephon Tuitt. And then behind them, you would have a middle linebacker or two of our inside linebackers and then another outside linebacker, right? So you would have, in some way, you know, Bostic in the middle and Vince Williams on the outside, or probably the other way, probably Vince Williams on the inside and Bostic on one of the outside and T.J. Watt, or excuse me, Chickalo would probably come in that situation. And then there was another version of it that was being described where it seemed like maybe Bud was on one edge and Hayward was on another, and then Hargrave would come in the middle. I don't know. This is all in an effort, right? This is all in an effort for the Steelers to become a better football team at defending the run. And this is one of their new looks that they're going to try and bring in on early downs to try and stop the run. I am glad to see if they're trying to toy with some idea and new variations of how to approach this from a schematic standpoint. I think that's good, right? And whether it's this 4-3 front, which is a little confusing to me, but, you know, whether it's this one or a different one or whatever they're doing, right, it is just encouraging to me that this team, which is not going to fix this problem through talent, right, because, you know, this team didn't acquire a ton of great talent defensively, there is going to have to be a schematic fix to this. And it's not like they were terrible against the run a year ago. They were pretty good against the run in most instances, and then kind of the wheels fell off in a lot of ways. And you could say the same thing about the secondary, right? You know, going back and looking through the season, the Chicago Bears game stands out as there being a lot of long runs in that game, especially, of course, the game winner. The Jacksonville game, you know, the Jacksonville had that long drive in the second half that was full of a lot of Leonard Fournette runs. And then, of course, he had that long run at the end of the game to seal it, the 90-yarder. You know, late in the year, Alex Collins for the Baltimore Ravens had a bunch of success running the football. And then, of course, Leonard Fournette in the playoff game, had a decent amount of success. Again, that was a game where just completely the Steelers were completely outmanned defensively, and they got beat through the air and the ground. But, you know, so again, this team has improvements to make against the run. I don't know that they were terrible a year ago. I don't know that they need to change it up entirely. They do need to be better and more consistent against the run. I think they need to be better and more consistent against the pass. So I'm encouraged to see this team trying to do some things better schematically, because I think they're going to have to do some things better schematically against the pass as well. Again, because we're not going to be changing things up entirely from a personnel standpoint. So good to see that this team is going to be toying with a couple of ideas there. Sean Davis was interviewed and actually had a lot to say about the whole free safety, strong safety situation, and whether or not he's going to be playing free or strong, or it's going to be Morgan Burnett. Sean Davis saying, quote, "We're versatile. There really is no designated free and strong as of now, as far as I know. We played left and right today, so we played free and strong. He can do both, and I can do both. We're still learning how to communicate with each other. It just makes things a little easier for us communication-wise. He can control his side of the field, and I can control my side of the field." Now, again, he's talking about Morgan Burnett, pairing with Morgan Burnett there. That is an interesting look at what the Steelers could be playing with here when it comes to, we've talked about Sean Davis having to move to free safety permanently, right? Or are they going to play Morgan Burnett in that role? Or are they going to play Terrell Edmonds in that role, right? But it seems like, especially early on, there really isn't going to be a true free or true strong just yet. They want to, it's either that they want to see how Sean Davis does in a free safety role and how Morgan Burnett does in a free safety role, or potentially the answer could be, because the question has been, is it going to be Davis or Burnett at free safety or strong? Both, right? The answer is just going to be both, and it'll depend on what the look is, depend on what the formation is, but we have two guys. We really have three guys when you consider Terrell Edmonds did play some free safety in college, and while I don't think he projects to that early in his career, again, taking a player like Terrell Edmonds who can play around the line of scrimmage and potentially could play free safety down the line does mean that they're going to have another guy in that secondary that could be versatile enough to play both positions. And while Sean Davis hasn't played free safety a lot in the past, it is a position that I think he could work into. He certainly has the athleticism to work into that role. So interesting to hear him say, you know, there really isn't designation just yet. And maybe that changes as we go, and maybe they determine that, yes, we want Sean Davis to make the change to free safety, but maybe they go into the regular season with this kind of versatile look. And I think what that helps them with is, you know, with not having a true free safety on the roster, one of my biggest worries was going to be, boy, what happens if you move Sean Davis to free? What happens if he gets hurt? Do you then move Morgan Burnett over to free, and then you have to like put Edmonds in at strong, or Dangerfield's coming in, or Allen's coming? I mean, who's coming in at that point for who at that? So I think by doing it this way, by not having a designated free or strong as far as you are going to play free on every play, this does give them some versatility with the ability to switch it out on a play-by-play basis. And if Sean Davis were to go out, the guy that comes in is going to have to play some free, some strong, but not going to have to be that on every single play. And so, again, this just gives the Steelers some more versatility in that defense and again, makes offenses think a little more about what coverage the Steelers are in. I like that look from them. Another thing Sean Davis talked about was new secondary coach Tom Bradley. And this is one thing that, you know, we've been monitoring all offseason, and really a lot of us fans pinning our hopes on Tom Bradley as being the savior for this defense in a lot of ways, right? This is a defense that is full of young athletes, but hasn't really shown the amount of talent that we thought it had. And so we're all hoping that Tom Bradley can get a little more out of the secondary than we've seen in the past. Here's what Sean Davis had to say about Tom Bradley. Quote, "We've changed a little bit, but that's why we have these OTAs, to work out the kinks and put the best guys out there. He does a really good job of breaking stuff down for us in the film room. He shows us good film to watch. It's crazy. He knew me in and out the first day I met him. He's a real film-heavy guy. I like that. I like learning by example." So it's great to hear. There's another guy. We heard Terrell Edmonds say similar things about the attention to detail and what a good coach Tom Bradley was in rookie minicamp. Now Sean Davis is saying the same thing during these OTAs. The amount of film, the amount of detail that Tom Bradley knew about Sean Davis before ever meeting him on a practice field is definitely encouraging. And so, again, as we go into 2018 and we continue through this OTA process and training camp process, you have to be excited by Tom Bradley. And just you have to be excited by how excited the players are to be playing for a guy like Tom Bradley. Nothing against Carnell Lake and nothing against the former secondary coaches the Steelers have had in this system, but it does seem like Tom Bradley is bringing something else to the table that we haven't had at that position. And as I said yesterday, you know, we're now year three of Sean Davis. We're year three of Artie Burns. It's time to start to see if what these guys have, because the next question is going to be, do we need to sign these guys to long-term deals? And before we can do that, we need to know what we have from these guys as players. So glad to see that Sean Davis and Terrell Edmonds are singling out Tom Bradley as being a potential difference maker in that secondary just from bringing out new talent. The last thing I want to talk about tonight is something that Bud Dupree talked about when he was talking about the changes to the defense and some of the players that have left the football team. He really talked about Arthur Motes as being the one guy he is going to miss who is not there at OTAs. Again, Arthur Motes was not cut, but just he was a free agent. The Steelers have not brought him back yet. I think there's still a chance that Arthur Motes could be brought back. Again, you look at edge rusher and the depth we have there. There's certainly room for another player. And so Arthur Motes could be that guy down the line. But right now, no Arthur Motes on the roster. So Bud Dupree talking about, you know, how much he's going to miss Arthur Motes and what a presence he was in the locker room and in that, you know, in the linebacker room. It's one thing, and that really brought up for me the kind of leadership void that we may have on this team going into 2018. You know, we talk about cutting Mike Mitchell, you know, letting go of our William Gay and Robert Golden and not re-signing Arthur Motes and letting some of these young guys shine. And yes, we're gonna have in some ways a new look secondary with having Morgan Burnett out there and Terrell Edmonds. And you know, we're not gonna have to watch some of these guys who have been on the team for a while and we knew their ceiling and we needed to be better than that, right? So it's gonna be exciting in that way. But I do go back to, I think it was 2006. It was right after Jerome Bettis retired. And that was a team, again, chock full of talent. Great defense, great offense, right? They had a ton of good players. They won the Super Bowl in 2005 as kind of an underdog story, and you felt like, boy, we can really build on this now. Jerome Bettis retires, but hey, you know what? We still got some good backups behind him. We can still, you know, we have Willie Parker, right? We can still be a very good football team without Jerome Bettis. And the one thing I wondered at the time was, yeah, but if you lose Jerome Bettis on offense, who's going to step up and be the leader of that offense? This was Ben Roethlisberger in his third year. It would have been his third year, right? You have Hines Ward, who was there, but who was going to step up? Alan Faneca, right? Who's going to step up and be the leader of that offense? Who's going to fill the void that has left the presence of Jerome Bettis in that locker room? And so you talk about the guys that we've lost going into 2018. And look, we didn't lose Jerome Bettis. But when you add up Mike Mitchell, Ryan Shazier, Arthur Motes, William Gay, Robert Golden, don't talk about the talent of the player. Talk about what they added in the locker room, the presence that they had in that locker room. That's what this team is missing on defense going into 2018. And so that is certainly a worry for me. Who are going to be the players that step up on this football team to fill that void in the locker room? Certainly guys like Cam Hayward and Stephon Tuitt stand out. Vince Williams could be that guy. But who's going to be that presence in the locker room that keeps this team together defensively? I don't know who it's going to be right away, right? You've got Joe Haden there, and he's a veteran, not a veteran of this football team. You've got Morgan Burnett. He's a veteran. Again, not a veteran of this football team. Maybe they can step in and be a that veteran guy. But it's something I want to keep an eye on with this defense going into 2018, because the youth movement is on for sure, right? We have all these young players now, and we're gonna let them all loose. But who's gonna be there to keep it all together at the end when we're talking about that Super Bowl run and coming up with big plays and big moments? Who's gonna be the guy that's keeping the glue? Who's gonna be the glue that keeps this defense together? I don't know who it is yet, right? I hope it's Cam Hayward. I hope it's Stephon Tuitt. There are certainly players who could step up. It's going to be interesting to monitor that and see how this defense does in those big moments. All right, that is going to do it for me today and this week. So I'll be back. Memorial Day is Monday, so no podcast on Monday, but we'll be back Tuesday, and we'll do 4 days next week, Tuesday through Friday. We can recap all of this minicamp, and next week we'll get into breaking down the schedule, because we haven't talked about the schedule yet. The schedule came out. It's an interesting schedule. I want to break it down. We'll probably spend a couple days next week breaking down the schedule. So we'll do that next week. Thank you all for listening this week. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can find me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back on Tuesday for more Locked On Steelers.